Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
Amen. So last week I showed you a picture like this. And I asked you, what amazes you? What gets your attention? I mean, what truly just shocks you? What can just enthrall you? What does it? All of you are laughing because all of you have an image of something that shocks you. Some of you, it's something that's funny, something that's amusing, something you see on the TV, something maybe on the internet. You get one of those little gifts that move and some guy does funny like that. Oh, maybe that amazes you. Or maybe it's your children who do it, the first cartwheel, say their first words or get the first A on their test. You go, wow. Maybe some of you, it's come tax return season and you get that check. You're like, really? Maybe it's some type of financial windfall or some really gift and it amazes you. I want you to think this moment, what amazes you? And as I began to research this, I realized that all amazement isn't good. There's some negative amazement, right? Your kid could say some word in public that they've never said before in front of your friends and you're like, oh, you're amazed all right, just for the complete wrong reason. See my point? There are things that shock you when you turn on TV or Twitter. Did they just say that out loud? It amazes you. It literally amazes you. Amazement is this thing, this emotion that sits in your heart that produces all sorts of chemistry and biology. And it all starts in the same place, but it can be interpreted by the brain and, of course, by your psyche in different ways, sometimes in the positive and sometimes in the negative. But this amazement is what I want to focus on today. What amazes you? And so I looked into the scriptures and I said, is this word amazing? Is it in the Bible anywhere? It is in the Bible. The word amazing is actually in the Bible. And as I said last week, it's mostly in the New Testament. Why that is, I don't know. You have two stories, right? You have this story about God before Jesus came to earth, and he was doing a lot of judgment, and people were scared of him. And then you have this God who sent his son to earth and turned into this walking, living human being that began to love on everybody, and everybody was amazed. And so you see this word a lot, and sometimes it's translated marvel. They marveled at Jesus. Sometimes it's translated they were in wonder or amazement. In other places, it was translated more literally. They gasped. They gasped. Or they were astonished. Or they were shocked. The word in Scripture that you'll see in the Greek is a word called thamon. It doesn't matter. Just you need to know it's that word thamon. It's transliterated all these different ways to mean amazement. And it was typically around Jesus. And that was the message for last week. And I'm not going to spend too much time except for the main point. So I'm going to give you the main point from last week right now. You ready for it? And for all of you guys, you already know, this is for the visitors and the people who didn't make it here last week. That's okay, right? Okay. Did you believe or did you realize that you can actually amaze God? You have within you the ability, you have within you the capability of amazing the creator of the universe. Just think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. Think about whoever in your mind is, you know, a prominent figure, a famous person, a brilliant mind. You know, think of whoever you put on high esteem. How would you go about amazing that person? Saying something equally brilliant? I don't know. Doing something, acting some way, giving something? I don't know. How would you amaze somebody? How would you grasp their attention and allow them to be in shock and wonder at you? How would you do that? Now, imagine this is the creator of the universe, the creator of all that is, was, and will be, the man who really walked on water, the man who cast out demons, the man who healed the blind and the deaf. How would you go about amazing somebody like that? Well, if you were here last week, you know. For those of you who weren't, I'm going to share it with you. Is that okay? Okay, because I didn't know. See, some of us here last week, we want to keep it secret. Like, look, if you missed last week, then that's on you. Go back and listen to it. But in order to get this message, in order to get the message all the way through, I need to provide some backstory here. And so the way that you can amaze God was pretty simple. It's called faith. You may have heard of the song Amazing Grace. I want you to think now about amazing faith. In Scripture, it tells us over and over and over again that your faith will amaze him. Your faith will amaze him. You know, I thought about this. Should I use the word can? Your faith can amaze him? I thought about that. I was thinking about that. Well, that just means that we are able to amaze him, but that's already true. I told you that. I want to tell you something different. Your faith will amaze God. What I mean by that is, no matter what you do, you will have an amazing effect on God. If you have strong faith, it will amaze God in the positive. And yet, if you are lacking faith, it will also amaze God, yet in the negative. Do you understand that today you can't get around amazing him? When you wake up and you go to bed, he is watching you. He is involved in your life, whether you recognize him or not. And day by day, minute by minute, you are amazing him. Are you doing it in the way that you want? Are you doing it in the way that's bringing a smile to his face or a frown? So what I shared last week is the scripture here. There's plenty of scriptures, but I want to start with this. It's Matthew 8:10. You don't need to turn your Bibles yet. We're going to go somewhere else, but I just wanted to share with you this. This is a story where Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth. Jesus is saying, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. He's saying this to a soldier, to a captain. He's saying this, and this captain said, just send your word and my son will be healed. Just say the word and my son will be healed. And Jesus was, did he just say that? He don't need me to go to his house. He doesn't need me to lay hands. He doesn't need me to have a big worship service. He doesn't need me to have a big altar service. He doesn't need me to whip out the oil. He doesn't need there to be some prophetic word. He doesn't need all that. He just needs me to say the word. It amazed him. It literally amazed him in the positive. While at the same exact time, as amazing as that was, and Jesus going, to the man, he was looking behind him at all of his followers. That's all of us. And he said, because all these people are Israel. And he's basically saying, this man who's a Roman is demonstrating faith that I haven't seen in all of my followers. Are we, church, going to come every Sunday? Are we going to dress up? Are we going to sing songs? Are we going to pray? And then be upstaged by somebody who doesn't even know Jesus? Seriously? God is healing today. God is moving today. Will you be a recipient? There are those among us who God is moving in. And you may look at them and say, shoo, I've been serving the Lord longer than them. I have more faith than them. Today, church, your faith is being tested. Not by Satan, church, but by God. And he's measuring. Are you faith like this? Are you faith like them? Are you following me, church? You see, he was amazed both by the Roman and by his people in two different ways. This could sound pretty negative, right? And it's over in scripture again and again and again. I'm just showing you a few examples. Mark 6:6. He literally says he was amazed at their lack of faith. What am I saying here, church? I just need to point out to you, because I know there's some Christians who've been coming to church a long time. And there are Christians who have come from other churches who are now here. There are Christians who have been at Kingsway for the last 75 years. There are pastors here. There are leaders here. There are plenty of people here who believe they have faith. And I need to put it to you, church, that no matter how well you know Jesus, no matter how much you say you love Jesus, no matter how much you want to be a leader in church and do for Jesus, you must have an authentic, legitimate, and real faith. Otherwise, he will be amazed at your lack thereof. You know, I was thinking about this. I just need to point it out. In scripture, there's a precedent for letting Jesus down. I love him, but I pray I don't let him down. I pray we don't let him down. Church, we're on the next level. We're on the precipice of the next level. We're at that door, remember? We're at that door. We're trying to open that door. Are we going to push through that door, church, and amaze him? Or are we going to sit at the door and wander and wander and wander? This is a question for you. It's a question for me. Faith. And so last week I called this message here, Amazing Faith. But today I need to throw on you what the Lord wanted me really to share. But it's going to require you to focus. There's another word in there. There's another word in there that I wasn't studying, that I didn't care about. There's another word in there that he pointed out to me. And that is when I realized what we need to do. You can look at the words and you can pick one, but the one that the Lord brought to my attention is clear as day, as if it was almost yellow on the page. Oh, it is yellow. How about that? Was there. There. What does there mean? I don't know. It's a pronoun, right? It means something more than one. It means a group of people. It means he wasn't amazed at just one person's lack of faith. He was amazed at the whole group's lack of faith. There's something about together faith. And here's an example of together faith not doing so well. Today, we're going to talk about together faith and how together we can shock him. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for that moment, Lord, where I have their attention and you can begin to speak into their lives. But Lord, we're now about to go into your word. And Lord God, I pray that you can open this up, not just as the pages in my book, Lord God, but you can open it up into our lives. I pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts, our soils, for your word to get in there, Lord, their seed to get up in there and begin to grow some good fruit, Lord. That's what we need. Allow some of that fruit to come forth as faith and faithfulness, Father God, that we can do your works here on earth. In Jesus' name I pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. I want to get into the word, church, and I want you to get a hold of what God is saying to us. And so I'm going to turn the scriptures here to Mark chapter 2, chapter number 2. If you have your Bibles open now, I do encourage you to take your Bibles. I encourage you to open them up. I don't care if they're on the phone. I don't care if they're in front of you. Look, if you don't have a Bible, we got one. It's in the pew in front of you or under you. There's a Bible around there somewhere. Grab one. Open it up if you want. Take your own Bible. If you have it on your phone, open up the Bible app. It's a great app. We love that Bible app. And I want to talk about Mark chapter number 2. When you're there, say amen. Well, half of you are there. When you're all there, say amen. Okay, and the rest of you just say amen. Just say amen. Church, before I forget, I'm going to tell you this now. Chapter 2, there's about 12 verses in here that I'm interested in. I'm not going to get to all 12 today because I want to focus. I have a lot to focus on, so I'm going to try to do that very clearly. Some homework, if you want some. You don't know what to read today, you don't have a Bible today, you need to read something, I want you to read 12 verses of Mark chapter 2. You don't need to do it right now. Don't do the homework right now. This is why teachers don't give homework on the board before class, because then you do it during class. Right? So what I'd like you to do is read these 12 verses at some point before next service, because I feel like the Lord is asking me to linger right here for the next week or so, and I'm going to do that, which means I'm not going to rush this message today. I'm going to read it. And I'll tell you a little trick I use. You know, when I was evaluating churches myself, and my wife and family and I, we were going here and pastors, you know, I tell you, anytime they said a verse and it was an important verse for them to say, and they brought it up and put it on the board like I've been doing, and I'd open my Bible and look at it. The reason I open my Bible is not to look at it because it was on the board. I always wanted to read the verse before it. I want to know what's going on here. I want to make sure he's talking about something that actually makes sense in the context of how it was written. So I'm going to do that for you today. I'm going to read verse 45 of chapter 1. It's the first verse before Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read it right here in my Bible. It's the Story Bible, New Living Translation, so it may read a little different than yours. But it says, "But the man went and spread the word." Church, I need you to get a hold of this. I need you to get a hold of spreading the word. We do it well on Facebook. We do it well on Twitter. We do it well with our children. There are lots of things we share with one another. Well, I'm not talking about words or a word. I'm talking about the word. Spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. And as a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus. Church, you want this church filled? You want to see the parking lot filled? You want to see the gym and the classrooms filled? Many of you may sit there and think, as I did when I sat there, it's the pastor's job to fill the church. Better sermon, get better worship leaders, get better lights, better decorations, get smoke and lasers and sound machines. I don't know. But I'll tell you, that you may think there's something I can do to fill this church. Could not be more clear. Verse 45 says, the men went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened, and as a result, large crowds came to church. You want large crowds to come to church? Share what's going on in your life with somebody. You don't even have to start with church. You know, say, hey, God is good all the time. Let me tell you why God is good. This, 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 and that. And he did this to this guy in my church, and he did this to this guy in my church, and this girl in my church. And he goes, why are you talking so much about your church? I don't know. Jesus seems to hang out there. Let's go see what it's like. You want to come? Start spreading the word, church, and crowds will come from anywhere. I need you to get a hold of this. I don't have time to get through all of this. The verse right before 45, and this would go on forever if I did this, but it's 44. And if you read 44, you'll find out Jesus actually told him not to. He said, don't spread the word. Please, please don't. Please don't, because Jesus knows exactly what happens when you spread the word. Here's my point, church. The word of God in this one, the word of God in your life where it is so powerful, church, that even if you don't have God's blessing, all the people will still come. You don't need God to tell you to do this in order for him to bless it. His word is that powerful. It never returns void. So hopefully you're getting the idea. As a result, large crowds surrounded Jesus, and he could not publicly enter the town anywhere. He had to stay out in a secluded place. In a secluded place. King James, it reads desert. Go back to the Greek, and you'll be pleasantly surprised that this word is the word we've been talking about for the last 7 weeks called wilderness. What am I trying to say? The church, if you are going to follow him and you are going to start spreading the word about him and people start coming to this church, you're going to find yourself in a secluded place. You're going to have to start secluding yourself. I don't mean a church and avoiding people. No, you should be saying hi to everyone. But what you're going to find out is that you're not as connected anymore to your friends because they're all spread out now. You can't sit next to who you want to sit next to because they're all around everywhere. And you start feeling a little more disconnected. I'm talking about you right now, these people, the people who have faith, the people who are praying for those. Because when you follow Jesus, you'll find yourself in more secluded places. You'll find yourself reaching new depths with him that others can't follow you. You'll find yourself in a place where you feel like it may be just you and him. And isn't that what we've been praying for all along? Why do we get upset when he does it? In a secluded place. But people everywhere still kept coming to him. You see, my point, church, once we get a hold of this, people will start coming from everywhere. Now we get to the text. Mark, chapter number 2, verse 1. When Jesus, see, when we say Jesus, we all repeat Jesus. When Jesus, man, I thought you liked the name of Jesus. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors. Where is this gospel today? Where is it? Where is it, church? Where is the gospel that told me, it says in John 14, it says, if you follow Jesus, you will do works like he does. It says, you will do greater works than him. Church, this is the gospel. Where we are doing works like Jesus, greater works, to the point where the crowds can't help but fill the place where there's not room for them to enter. Not because of a preacher or a worship team, but because of his power. Show me a church that they can't get in because of his power, and I will show you a revival. And there are a few of them happening around America today. There are people from this church that have traveled to North Carolina and to Florida and to Houston and have seen some of these revivals. But church, I'm not satisfied with revivals in North Carolina, Florida, and Houston. I want one right here in Baltimore. Amen. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no room, even outside, while he was preaching God's word to them. I know I need to get past this. I just can't. It keeps coming up over and over again, so I got to point it out to you. What was Jesus doing? He was preaching the word. And sometimes I'll do this. I'll go verse by verse, word by word. I'll talk to you about words. We'll talk offline about words. Words are so important. God created words. He speaks to us through words. And he says, I've given you a word. Here it is. Church, all we need to do is to get in it. God will give us a word. If I preach his word, he will be honored. You will be fed, and you will tell people, and they will come. Do you see how that works? I don't need to get videos every week and get creative with my dramas every week. And we do some of that. I love to have fun with God's word. But there are times where we just need to preach his word, church. Amen? Okay. So now that you got the point, I'm going to keep doing that. Okay. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring this man to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. They lowered the man down on his mat, right down in front of Jesus. Verse 5. I want to focus on verse 5. In my Bible, it says, quote, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sons are forgiven. In the original text, it says it like this. I put it on the board. So you don't need your Bible anymore. You can look right up on the screen. In the original text, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. I want you to get a hold of that for a second. How about you? We'll do one of those school things. Repeat after me. Make sure everyone's awake. When Jesus saw their faith. Okay, this is where we get serious, church. This is where we get serious. I'm going to take this one verse and explain to you what God is telling us today about the next level and where we are right now. It's very simple. The first two words, when Jesus. When Jesus. Some of you need some when Jesus in your life. Some of you have forgotten about the when Jesus. Some of you have gotten so experienced, you only read about the when Jesus. You don't care about the when Jesus anymore because you just assume it's already happened. When Jesus did that back in Scripture, when Jesus walked on water, when he healed people, oh, that was all good for the Bible times, some of us may think. Others may think, well, Jesus was great in the Bible times, and he was even good at Kingsway. You know, when Jesus used to walk around the altars, people used to get healed, and there was mighty works of God here at Kingsway when Jesus was here. Church, I tell you today that all of you can have a when Jesus moment. You need a when Jesus moment. My brother Joe says, I came to church when Jesus was there, I got healed. People go to the hospital and see doctors, but when you go to the hospital and see the doctor and Jesus shows up, it ends up being a whole nother story, does it not? Church, I do not have the time to tell you how many hospital visits I've been to where I've heard one prognosis, we've prayed, and something very different happened. And church, I'm not talking about me as a pastor either. I'm talking about me as one of you. When I was out there, when I was just visiting people, I'm talking about when I myself was in the hospital and I've gotten prognoses from doctors that I wouldn't ever do this again or I wouldn't ever do that again. I haven't shared my whole testimony. I don't believe I have shared my whole testimony of my life with you, church. That'll come at some point. But I tell you time and time again that when Jesus shows up, things change. Do you know that Jesus is alive today? Do you know that when two or three are gathered together, he walks among us? He is with us. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that? When we're here worshiping, he is here. When we are singing, it's a when Jesus moment. When we are reading his word, it's a when Jesus moment. When we are having an altar call, oh man, that's a when Jesus moment. When Jesus does something, church, he will do something. And for each and every one of you, it'll be slightly different. Some of you, he'll speak in the quiet, a word, a concept into your life, in a sense of encouragement. Others, a sense of peace. For others, when Jesus encounters you, you'll have an overwhelming sense of joy, perhaps even laughter. Sometimes when Jesus encounters you, you'll have that answer you've been looking for, clear as day. Or a door will open that wasn't before. Or a healing will happen that you weren't expecting. But that's the problem. We need to expect when Jesus. Amen? We need to expect when Jesus. I think you got the point. So I'm going to move on to the next most important word here. This is the one I need to pause on. Can you see it? You know, I tried to make it yellow so you could see it. Does that help? I'm hoping that helps, church, because it took me a while to get over this. When Jesus saw, do you mean to tell me? You mean to tell me? Look. Christians, anybody who's been a Christian for any length of time, if you've been to any church ever, you realize there's a bunch of weird things happen at church. It's just weird, right? A bunch of people get together, they chant a bunch of things, they repeat after each other, sometimes they dress in robes, sometimes they drink things. I mean, it's weird. Now, you may not think it's weird because you see it every, you know, week in, week out, but if you have it and you see one of these, by the way, you see the same exact thing on TV and they don't mention Jesus? Well, that's even more weird. It's like an occult or something. My point is, church, what we do, we get together, it's weird because there's a lot that's happening, as I preached a couple weeks ago, that is unseen. There's a lot that's happening in the spiritual world, and there are rules to a spiritual world. You know, people tell me about miracles all the time, and I have conversations with miracles at work, and I talk about with clients and sometimes with really brilliant people in industry, and they tell me miracles are ridiculous. There's no possible way we can suspend natural law. That's what they believe. They believe that miracles is a suspension of natural law. It's like natural law taking a break. But no, church, that is not what's happening. Natural law never takes a break. What we do, we see a miracle, is the supernatural laws working. The supernatural laws activating. The supernatural laws taking place, and a lot of times, it's unseen. Man judges you on the outside, God judges you on your heart. It's unseen. But my point is, in all this talk about all the things that are unseen, and we as pastors, we have a number of analogies to tell you about things that are unseen. And let's put it into brass tacks. When Jesus saw, do you mean to tell me that he can see my faith? Uh-oh. He can see, that's what these, my eyeballs, he can see my faith. This isn't mystical. This isn't mysterious. This isn't heavenly. There's no magical seeing going on here where he's looking into their soul. No, he used his human eyeballs. He saw four men drop a man literally from the roof in front of him. And he saw their faith. Faith can be seen today. What does God see in your life? Was he seeing my life? And I told you before, God will see your faith. Whether your faith is strong or whether it's lacking, well, that's up to you. But either way, it will amaze him by what he sees, church. It's not enough. It's not enough to just think it. It's not enough to go to work every day and say, I'm a Christian, all is good. We need to get on our knees and pray. It's not enough to say to somebody, I'm going to pray for you. We need to actually pray for them. It's not enough to say you're going to care and love and you have all these great Christian fruits about you unless you pick the fruit and you give it to someone. Are you following what I'm saying? You need to do it so he can see it. When he saw the fig tree, he didn't see fruit, so he said it will wither. And we went, oh. What would he do if he'd said that to us? Church, he can see our faith. That should get our attention. But then we have the most important part, and for those of you who are skipping ahead, you know what word I'm going to highlight now. It's there again. It's not T-H-E-R-E like I am there. It's T-H-E-I-R, as in their faith, as in their group. I shared with you the verse in Matthew that said, he was amazed at their lack of faith. But today, I share with you something even more brilliant. Jesus Christ was amazed at their faith. Say their faith with me, church. He was amazed at their faith, church. He wasn't amazed at the pastor's faith. He wasn't amazed at the worship leader's faith, or the deacon's faith, or the elder's faith, or the seniors who go to church more than everyone else. He wasn't amazed at their faith. He wasn't amazed at the children's faith, and God has been amazed at all those things before. He wasn't amazed at the guy who asked for healing, his faith. No, 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 no. He was amazed at their faith. I don't have time to get into this. I'm going to get into it next week, the week after, but there were four men who brought a paralyzed man, and he dropped him down through a roof. He lowered him down. The four men lowered them down. A fifth man was on the mat, and he didn't look at that fifth man and say, I'm amazed at your faith. He said he saw their faith. I need you to get a hold of this. Church, there's nothing in Scripture that says how the man on the mat was feeling. Was he feeling optimistic? Was he feeling like this was going to be the day he was healed? When we read it, we get a sense that maybe that's how he was feeling. But church, it's very possible that this man on the mat was saying, not me today. Guys, it's a crowd. Too many people. I don't want to go. I've gone to all the doctors. I live my life. I know what my life is. Just leave me alone. I just want to sit on my mat and be a beggar, be a complainer, or I just want to get through life. Just leave me alone. And the four men very possibly said, no, we're taking you to God. And those four men picked him up, carried him onto a roof, opened the roof up, and lowered him down. Four grown men lowered another man down on a mat, hovering above Jesus until he got to the ground. Think about the effort. My point, church, is it's very possible that it was the four men's faith that Jesus was most amazed at. We can talk about the man on the mat, and we'll talk about him next week. But right now, I want to focus on the four men. Church, the four men is what lowered him down. The four men is the one who picked him off the mat. The four men were the ones saying the encouraging words the whole way to Jesus. It was the four men who got to the crowd and said, the crowd won't stop me. It's the four men who said, the roof won't stop me. It's the four men that said, the height won't stop me. It's the four men that said, you will get down safely. We're lowering you to God. Church, do you realize that we have more than four here today? That we as a congregation can be the men and women that are lowering people down to Christ. We can be the men and women that are compelling them to come to Jesus even when they don't want to. We can be the four men that won't allow work or crowds to get in our way, won't allow sentiment to get in our way or popular belief, or won't allow popularity to get in our way. They won't allow anything, not ladders, roof, heights, or lowering, get in our way. We will bring them to Jesus. And when we do, he will be amazed at our faith. Are you with me, church? You know, I got to give you bits and pieces. I can't give you everything. Part of it is because the Lord is still speaking the depths of it. Sometimes he gives me an idea and a concept of the scripture, and I begin to study it, and sometimes he gives me the whole sermon. And so in this case, he's giving it to me in pieces, and this is the piece I wanted to share with you today. I wanted to share with you that our faith can be seen as individuals, and our faith can be seen as a group of people. And today, church, together, our faith can amaze him. Our faith together can amaze him. Church, do you want to be a church that comes together on a weekly basis and amazes God to the point where he stops what he's doing and says, let's go see what's going on at Kingsway? Let's go see what our spirit can do at Kingsway today. Because I know they're going to be bringing some people in. They're going to be lowering some people down. Church sometimes is all about lifting people up. But church, I want to be a church that lowers people down. I want to lower them down right to the hand of God. I want to allow God to do something in our lives, hopefully in healing, hopefully in transforming our life, hopefully taking our life to the next level. And I believe, church, together, it's together that our faith will do it. It's not the faith of one or two. It's the faith of us together. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church?
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with His people, His purpose, and His power. God bless you.